Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
Welcome back to Reader's Roundtable. We're dedicating this episode to graphic novels, this is Jessica Trotter. I'm the Adult Selection Specialist, and Mari Garza is our Youth Services Selection Specialist. We've got our Senior Associate Director of Public Services, Jolie Hamlin, is joining us. And then Chris Potts, who's a Public Services Librarian at Okemos, is joining us today. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I love graphic novels in all their forms. And I just, one of the important things I want to remember, want everybody to remember as we're talking about this, is that in this particular case, graphic novels is a descriptor. It's the format. We're not talking about only comic books. Graphic novels kind of run the full gamut of nonfiction and then all genres of fiction and all age levels. So there's more than just Marvel and DC, though there is some great stuff in Marvel and DC as well. So if you want to get right into it, what people don't always look for is our nonfiction collection. And Jolie is a great reader of graphic novel, memoir and biography, among other things. So do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Sure. Thanks, Jessica. Yeah, that's definitely true. It's for me, I was trying to think back. I can actually think right back to when I started to get interested in graphic novels. It was probably 15 years ago. And honestly, I was probably a little bit of a snob. I thought comics were not for me, and I'm still not sure if I don't think I'm a snob about that anymore, but that's still, when I think of something that I would traditionally call a comic, that still isn't my favorite thing in the world, my reading universe. But I was in a book group, and the way we had structured that book group was that different people got to choose what the title would be for the next month, and somebody recommended a book called Blankets by Craig Thompson. And if you are at all familiar with graphic novels, you probably are familiar with that title, because it's really a classic in that, for lack of a better word, genre. I know we're not really calling a genre per se, but in the world of graphic novels, it's really a classic. It is a nonfiction memoir. It is what you would call a coming-of-age story. It had some particular appeal. I guess I really enjoy like teen stories, coming-of-age sorts of stories, but also this particular book, the guy who wrote it, it was a Michigan resident and grew up in the Upper Peninsula, and it really tells about his first love. He was raised in a very conservative Christian home, and his particular home life, too. I would say there was some abuse of, like, the kids weren't necessarily treated well, and that kind of plays into it. And like I said, it's just like a first love story. It's just really beautifully told. I think it's a really nice example of like a graphic novel in that, you know, there's the story, and the story that the words tell and the story that the pictures tell are not exactly or necessarily the same thing, but they really enhance each other a lot. And I just found it to be really lovely. And it opened a whole universe to me, and I became like super interested in a lot of graphic novels. And to this day, like for me, I have almost like if I see, oh, that story's not true, I might kind of like toss it aside. But graphic novels that are like memoirs or coming of age or true stories, like I don't know that there's any topic one that I would pass up.
So can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So when you did Blankets, how did that go over in your book group?
I think a lot of people found it really like interesting. I think that for some people, they probably went into it like more opened or experienced with the format of a graphic novel. But a lot of people really liked it. The people who hadn't read other graphic novels before, I think there was this universal surprise of like, wow, what a compelling format. I can remember even like kind of pitching a few things to my husband, who's not a huge reader but does like nonfiction, and in his world is like a film media person, and he totally related to this format, like, too. So, it was great.
I think we're going to jump around a little
sure.
bit. And Chris, do you mind talking about some of your approach or your access into graphic novels?
Absolutely. I can do that. I'm much more of the traditionalist with
sure.
Graphic novels.
You're not
in
the
sense of I'm way more into the superhero end of things. So Marvel and DC and Image and all those other smaller companies like that, that's really where my interest lies, even though I have read some of the other ones and do enjoy them. More of the superhero end of things are
sure.
kind of my thing. So, I mean, I've been reading comics and graphic novels since I was pretty much old enough to ride my bike down
right.
to the corner store
right.
and get them.
Right.
So I have kind of a really big background in that. But, you know, lately I've just been going back through and enjoying some of the classics ones.
Okay.
Like with the latest Marvel movie, Infinity War, I went back and read the actual Infinity Gauntlet series recently. And the one also entitled Infinity War, but that's kind of a mismatch. It's the graphic novel titled Infinity War has nothing to do with the movie, so be a little careful about that if you're trying to check out, you know, the book to read the adaptation. It's actually closer to the Infinity Gauntlet storyline than Infinity War. And, you know, kind of other than that, like, I know we have a very large breadth of manga titles,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got into those, even though a lot of my friends did. But the one series I really did read pretty well was Lone Wolf and Cub.
Okay.
So I really did enjoy that one. But I think probably the coolest thing that I have to kind of pitch in about both the superhero and even Lone Wolf and Cub is how I read them mm-hmm. has changed dramatically. Because of our addition of the Hoopla service.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
that's where I do a lot of reading of those on my tablet at night versus mm-hmm. digging out, you know, those hefty boxes of comic books anymore. So
yeah, and I totally agree. I still, and I will pitch it because I buy it, but I still am really thrilled that we're able to order as much of the physical copies, but mm-hmm. Hoopla's in a has been amazing, and in the breadth that they have added to our collection. So totally agree on that one. I'm somewhere in between the pair of you in terms of what I read. It's really kind of all over the place. I am also one of those people that started and went in and out from childhood on in Marvel and DC, but I'm also sort of, you know, some of it worked for me, some of it didn't. I kind of really picked it back up again, actually, as a librarian and managing a collection. So I have, you know, favorites among, like, oh, Matt Fraction. So when his Hawkeye series came out, I dove on that. It's a great kind of what's the daily life of the superhero without any actual superpowers. And it's just a really nice, down-to-earth superhero story. It's a great series, and I think everybody should give it a try. But I'm also on the side of one of my favorite recent picks was something called The Shape of Ideas by Grant Snyder, which is actually, it's a meditation on finding ideas and exploring ideas. It's just quirky, kind of thought-provoking graphic novel that's in our, it's, I think it's cataloged in the 100s. I mean, it's more of a more along the lines of a self-help style book, thinking about how we approach creativity and how creativity doesn't equal artistic ability. Everyone is creative in some way, and everyone runs into the same feelings of not thinking they can, but really being able to, you know, be creative in whatever their interests are. So it's really interesting, the variety that you can find in our collection.
Yes, definitely.
Mari?
Yeah, I have been with great interest listening to you guys as you describe what you look for, what you enjoy most. And I think with graphic novels, I generally stick to the J, or what we consider children's graphic novels. I'm really looking mostly for something light and something especially that will make me laugh. And there are quite a few out there for kids, J graphic novels. I'm thinking of this one that's called Toby Goes Bananas, and I'm really not sure that it's traditionally like a graphic novel. It's really kind of a joke book in some ways. There are drawings, so it looks like a comic strip a little bit, but on alternate pages there are scenes depicted, and it's sort of stuff like, good news, the teacher said we had a test today, rain or shine. So what's the good news? It's snowing. So a lot of joke things like that. I mean, one right after the other. It doesn't really follow a specific story. I think kids might enjoy reading something like this. And I think it's quick enough even for a child to read in one sitting.
Sure.
So it's kind of nice. The other one that I really enjoyed is called Monster on the Hill. And it's by Rob Harrell. And I think any child or even teenager would enjoy that book, or even adults. If you've never read a graphic novel, try something like that. It is the kookiest, just corniest humor about a dragon who is supposed to be the town, tourist attraction. He's not very scary. He's supposed to be the monster who brings in tourists from all over, and he's kind of down in the dumps and kind of lost his mojo a little bit. And he's got a friend who comes back from monster training school that sort of helps him, get a clue on how to bring back the magic of what it means to be a monster in the town and really please the residents. It's really cute, really funny. And it's also, it's written by an American author, but it is set in England, so it's kind of funny in that you've got these little medieval villages and towns and things like that.
So there's a, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to just talk about lots of different realistic stories, you could say. Right now, what I have been noticing in the last few years has been a lot of middle grade graphic novels that kind of focus on that, you know, that child, seventh grader, eighth grader, who is sort of coming of age a little bit or trying to enter their next phase of young adulthood. And I think of Roller Girl by Victoria Jameson, all the Smile or the Raina Teckelmeyer books, the Shannon
Sure.
Hale, those sorts of things are, those sorts of authors really kind of hit the nail on the head for especially girls and boys trying to, you know, navigate what it means to go from eighth grade to ninth grade and starting teenage life and things like that. And the one I was going to bring up right now, it's called All Summer Long. It's by Hope Larson. It just came out not too long ago. And I like it because it sort of touches on music, which is fits right in with
Your
our
theme.
Summer reading
Yes.
theme, Libraries Rock. And it's about a boy and a girl who are best friends, Bina and Austin, and one of them is going off to soccer camp, and the other one is staying home, and it kind of describes the feeling that you get. You know, relationships change over time.
Sure.
Your best friend, your BFF, doesn't always mean that your BFF is going to be around forever or be your BFF for all of your school years. So it kind of covers that sort of aspect of what do you do with your time when your BFF decides to go off and expand his or her horizons. It's
certainly
a nice read. Nice read.
Now, you've got some other teen that
I do.
You wanted to talk about?
Sure. A lot of the ones that I like are have a lot of crossover appeal.
Sure.
A sort of recent one that I believe is classified as a teen graphic novel is Lighter Than My Shadow by Katie Green. Again, this is a memoir, and this is of a girl who struggled with anorexia and bulimia. And it's really well done. It's really accessible. It is a hard sort of like topic in some ways, and but the format really works well with it. One that I think could be youth or young teen, El Defo by C.C. Bell. I just, that book just makes my face like light up and glow. It's such a good book.
So yes, awesome.
It is so awesome. So Cece Bell grew up profoundly deaf, and she just uses this format to tell her story. Amongst other things, she is married to Tom Engelberger, who wrote the
Origami
Yoda books.
Yeah.
So
you can tell they totally play off each other,
yes,
when they're writing.
Yes, yeah, very humorous. Yeah. But just such a great story. Just such a great story. What are some other teen ones? So after I read Blankets years ago, I think the very next book that I went to that was a graphic novel was Persepolis, which I think is not classified as a teen book, but it could be. It has crossover. Again, that's another coming-of-age story, an autobiography by Marjane Satrapi, who was growing up in Iran during the revolution. It tells her family's story, tells about being a teenager in a culture that's very different than ours, but in a way that you just see the universal experience of being a teenager, and how some things aren't so different from culture to culture at all. On a Y series that I really like is by Rick Geary. He does two different series. One is called The 19th Treasury of 19th Century Murder, and then The Treasury of 20th Century Murder. They are true crime books. They are just, if you can call true crime fun, I just did. They are so much fun. I could just binge read these. I really don't even think he's really adding anything to this series, and I probably wept when I reached the last one. But that's another one with a kid who likes mysteries, a kid who likes graphic novels. He really does the books in sort of a traditional comic strip format, except in black and white. And that monochromatic feel really adds something in this book. So, should I do two more? I know I went on and on there, but there are two more really good ones.
You gotta say them.
Okay. I'll last two for that I have our teen-ish books or Y books. Stitches by David Small.
Right.
Again, that's another classic in the genre. He is from Michigan. A lot of people know David Small as a Caldecott winning honor book author, so for younger kids, but this tells his own story of his very dysfunctional upbringing and how he was put under the knife by his father, who was a surgeon, to supposedly heal him, and that was not the case. Quite the story. And then another one, True Story, Fun Home by Alison Bechdel, tells about growing up. Her dad is both the English teacher and the mortician in town. And again, true story. And Alison is coming to terms with her own homosexuality. And at the end of the story, she finds out that her dad was also gay, but now her dad has passed away and she can never ask him any questions about that? So all of these are just, really wonderful coming-of-age stories.
I want to kind of just vaguely jump in that the couple of other ones that I wanted to talk about, or the things, something that I have appreciated about graphic novels lately, is that they are dealing with a lot of issues that I think are important to come up in discussion and sort of see representation. So one of the recent ones I picked up, it's called The Prince and the Dressmaker by Jen Wang. And it's, first of all, it's a gorgeous book. It's a lovely story with gorgeous fashion. It's about kind of learning to find one's own truth. Prince Sebastian and a dressmaker find that they need each other to move forward both of their dreams and both wanting to stand out in the fashion world. Sebastian comes more alive, dressed in gorgeous gowns and makeup and beautiful hair. It's just makes him feel more himself. And so he becomes Lady Crystallia and commissions fabulous, outrageous gowns by Francis. But he has this terrible fear of his father finding out, the royal family finding out, and it forces him to make hard decisions, and it forces Francis to make hard decisions, because she wants to be known for her work and not hiding behind somebody who's hiding himself. And it's just a really gorgeous story. There's humor in it, but there's also just the artwork, the costuming. If somebody's at all interested in fashion, this is just a neat illustrations that way. So that's one. Another one, there's also a lot of graphic novels being published in support of different causes. And one that jumps out to me, and that maybe because it's Pride Month, is Love is Love, which was written in the wake of the Pulse shooting in 2016. And it's just a collection of, it's one-page comics from all over the comic industry. There are just, they're tear-jerking, they're inspiring, they give voice to the horror, the outrage, determination to wake up and do something. And I found myself both smiling and tearing up in turns, and it's just another beautiful collection, and just a wide variety of artists and artwork. So those are a couple that I enjoyed. Is there something else that you want to talk about?
You guys are coming loaded for bear with all these deep coming-of-age stories, and I'm over here wanting to talk about guys in spandex.
I've got horror, too. I've got horror, too.
I think it's kind of interesting, though, because in graphic novels, and even we're going to harken back to some of the older just comic books, they've always been kind of nice activists in bringing up stuff.
They really have.
I believe, wasn't it North Star?
Yes.
Was the first gay character in comics, and that was, what, in the 80s that they brought him out? Mm-hmm. So they've kind of always been on that cutting edge of activism and bringing stuff out into the public's eye, so... Mm-hmm. It's always a great thing.
Another title that I'd like to throw in there on that same kind of bent is a graphic novel telling of Race to Incarcerate. Now, that is a really heavy book, and it's like when I say heavy, like
painful heavy.
Painful heavy, a lot to think about and to grapple with, and like, you know, a lot of numbers that they're sort of extrapolating. Social issues from, and it's almost a tome, and it's about the prison and the relationship between race and levels of incarceration, and how long people are in prison tied to race, etc. The graphic novel, one of the things I love about like graphic novels is that you still get so much like content and like can learn so much, but like the graphic novel version of it is, you know, a graphic novel version of it. It's almost kind of like light, but not, it's not light.
You can call it light.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
yes,
the topic isn't light, but it's sort of like when I sometimes love to read a really great Jay book that's a biography, because you can get so much, but when the writer does it well in a smaller space, really, sure. Besides which, I'm not really giving this justice for the Race to Incarcerate, the graphic novel version of it, but it is such a good book, and I think it's another example within like the format of a surprise. You know, you don't expect to see Race to Incarcerate in a graphic novel format, but it's really well done, and it was sort of like a book that I wanted to give every person that I met for like the weeks after I read it.
One of the things I've found interesting, because I'm not sure how recently it started, with Marvel and DC maybe in particular, but they're doing a lot, they have had a lot of mainstream authors writing storylines, and I mean more, it feels like, in the last few
years. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So people like Ta-Nehisi Coates or Margaret Atwood has a, I think that might be IDW, but Angel Catbird series, which is in support of an, I think, California shelter. And bringing awareness to a shelter, but it's a superhero story.
I think that was kind of the charge was led by Kevin Smith because he was such a huge comics fan, and then DC brought him on to do Quiver, the Green Arrow one, and then of course you know now we know he's a decade later directing episodes of Supergirl in addition to still writing his Jay and Silent Bob movies, but. You know, that's kind of been like the icebreaker to get these stories and these people to flop back and forward. And then since then, you know, we've seen such success from the movie and TV adaptations of some of these more heavy and adult-oriented ones like Kirkman's Walking Dead. So.
Very true.
And speaking of, I'm not sure you would call her mainstream author, but I'm thinking of one that I read years ago. I believe it was called The Bookmobile by Audrey Neffenegger. And her training actually is in the arts. She's the author of The Time Traveler's Wife, which was pretty popular back in its day. But I think this title is called The Bookmobile.
The Night Bookmobile.
The Night Bookmobile, that's what it was. It's beautiful, just beautiful. I have a very special place in my heart for bookmobiles. So it was really a lovely book to go through and hear. Again, kind of, I wouldn't say it was a biography, but you could tell some of it was part of her history. And it was a nice, nice story of...
And she's a great... She kind of walks that line between a more traditional art book and a graphic novel. And I mean, we have we place her in graphic novel,
right?
But and yeah, there
was a neat book. Hers,
yeah,
really
it was
neat
a very neat book.
But could I mention one more that I really want to promote?
Certainly.
It's a J book and it's called Pashmina. It's by I think it's Nidhi Chinani. It is a children's graphic novel, and even though the main character is a teen, it is in the children's section, and it Pashmina actually means made from wool. It translates literally into soft gold in the Kashmiri language, and these shawls are made in Kashmir and Nepal, and anyway, it's about... A teen girl, her name is Priyanka, and she goes by Pri. She lives with her mom only. So right off the bat, the story is a little unusual in that I don't really get to read very much about South Asian cultures where there's just the woman present in the home. And this teen is really interested in her mom's history from India, and for some reason her mom doesn't want to tell her. So there's a little bit of magic going on when... she finds, when Pri finds a Pashmina in a suitcase, it sort of becomes like a magical travel to another place, and she learns about her culture. And anyway, I won't give away the whole story, but it's a really neat story. A little bit of, you know, what it's like to be an only child and to be relying on other relatives for connections. She has an uncle that, when he has a child, doesn't, she kind of gets jealous maybe a little bit. It's kind of neat. So,
All right. I want to do one more superhero one personally because I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. And that's Black Bolt, number one, by Saladin Ahmed, and the artwork's by Christopher Ward. If you're familiar, Black Bolt was the leader of the Inhumans. And this is a... very new. It ended up being, it is a series starter, book one. It's just sort of a mind-bending trip. The Black Bolt is in, kind of wakes up in prison, doesn't know why he's in prison, doesn't know how he got there. And basically the story in this particular volume is him trying to figure out how he ended up there, keep and essentially stay alive long enough to get himself out. But Saladin Ahmed, I absolutely love. He's a Detroit native. He's a science fiction writer. I knew him first as a science fiction writer. He's had some great success in graphic novels now, or in comic books now. He's got Black Bolt going, and then We don't have it in the system yet because it's still in singles, but I want to shout out to Abbott, which is it's an original series that he's created it's like follows a 70s paranormal investigator that I'm really looking forward to getting into the system later in the year once the bound versions are available. So just as a something I really enjoyed and something I'm looking forward to from Saladin Ahmed. Well, thank you all for coming today. It's been so much fun. I know we all can talk more about all of this. So thank you very much. And we'll see you next time.
Happy reading.